to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you, spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess, and joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss. You guys got to talk me off the ledge. I am so bad with these Thursday night picks. After winning 11 in a row, I've dropped now five. I took the Falcons, which is ridiculous. The Thursday night games are getting wonky. I maybe should just quit. Should I just quit?
Well, first of
I
all,
need some me time.
Congratulations on the streak.
Thanks,
but you have to look at it, holistically. You're 11-5. You're still at the top of the division, right? You're still contending for the number one seed in the conference at 11-5. You're in good shape here with one game left.
You know, actually,
in your regular season.
You're saying this, Shaq, it occurred to me this is exactly what the 2020 Steelers did, isn't it? You 11-0.
That's kind of true. Yeah, that's
is it 10-0 or 11-0? Were you 11?
They were 11-0.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I think that's a good comp. Yeah, I think it's funny. In
this doesn't end great for me then.
Yeah, you know what we're doing though as a profession is the exact opposite of Goldilocks. She wanted everything to be just right.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the media though, Sal. What you don't want to be is
long.
In the middle. You don't want to be. You don't want to be in the middle.
Right.
You want to be great. And you were great for a while, but you want to stink so loudly that you get compared with all the loudmouths who say absurd crap, and then people respond to it. Now, that's like you. You're like one of the hot takers now. You have terrible opinions that require people to push back on those. Okay. Congratulations
Thank
you.
It makes me feel 5% better.
What the hell were you thinking, picking the Falcons to
Here's
win straight
what
up?
I was thinking. The Thursday games have been terrible. No one would have thought. I mean, it was the same spread as the Ravens were over the Dolphins. Ravens on the road against the Dolphins. The Dolphins had no right beating them. I just thought, okay, this is where Thursday games are getting weird, but why would I go against Belichick if any team was going to be prepared for a three-day rest? And by the way, the Falcons, since going down 7-3 to the Cowboys, have now been outscored 61-0. Like 68-3 in 4 days. That has to be up there in terms of all-time records for a four-day stretch, right? God damn it. Matt, what was Matt
they
Ryan
may
doing?
Not
what was
be
anyone
great.
Doing in
they
that
may
game?
Not be a Super Bowl contender, as it turns out.
I have to be done with them. I know.
Are they, where it sits right now, prisoner of the moment, an atrocious performance back-to-back by Matty Ice. People, he's one of the fascinating characters to discuss from the 21st
Player of the
century.
Week. I've been Player of the Week 2 weeks ago.
How about Hall of Fame? People like to talk about him as a Hall of Famer, and I could advocate for it, but boy.
It's close. I have to sit and watch, but I would not fit him with a yellow jacket unless it was a straight jacket.
One has to get it, him or Cam Newton from the NFC South. Who gets it?
At no point throughout Matt Ryan's NFL career did I look at him and say, that's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life.
If he would have won the Super Bowl, if he holds on at 28-3, it would be
At no point at any time in my life did I look at Matt Ryan.
I'm just telling you that if he had won that game, it would be understood. Well, of course,
numbers.
He ends up in the Hall of Fame. There would be no doubt that he's going. But he didn't win that
He
game.
Shouldn't be allowed to play football anymore. Go. And I'm looking at it, and we went over it. Oh, who's going to get the seventh seed? Did we do this the other day?
Yes.
Falcons, Panthers, Saints. Oh God. Why are we even bothering with that? Why? Like, these teams shit the bed every other week or every week. Like, what am I thinking? Like, isn't it better to bet at this point? Like, just take, like, all right, I like Packers, Bills, Super Bowl. Or
That's
I like
correct.
Chiefs,
I think so.
Bucks rematch or something. You're going to get good odds on that instead of watching these loaded. They don't even play. I don't know. And
that's what I advocated for last week, and I think that's right.
Yeah.
Because actually, you inspired that, and it's the accurate point, I think. Just lift up over it all.
You're
don't
right.
obsess over 60-minute chapters of what this means and if this team is good or that team's. What you're right about is as we head in here now to fully into
Go
Sunday week 11, like, the Packers rule their division. The Cowboys rule theirs.
Right.
The Ravens are there. The Browns are in the mix. What Bills are probably the best. What isn't true that we thought was going to be true in August?
Yeah. I'm just not going to bother with these bottom door. They maybe get in as a 7 seed. But, Martin, all that said, from a spread perspective, and it went up to 7, 7.5.
Yeah.
The Falcons were in it in the fourth quarter. It was 13-0.
And kept you remember on Wednesday's Extra Points, before we picked this game, I was waffling back and forth.
Name of the show is Extra Point.
What?
Thank you. I was referring to Wednesday's episode.
Yeah, but you said Extra Points.
It is Extra Points.
It's extra points.
Can I move on? Are you
about
prepared?
8 inches from your head if you want to double check.
Extra points, right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm so used to trying to correct you. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Are you prepared for me to move on? Is everybody else ready?
I went one step too far there.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
But I was made waffling back and forth. An extra point that wasn't necessary.
I would say cut that out, but
I'd
rather put it on a loop. Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
No, it's fair. It's fair.
I couldn't decide whether or not the Patriots were going to cover. I knew the Patriots were going to win the game, but the only thing that was
extra points.
Please.
Come on. Now it's
too much.
But the dogs have been performing so well in these primetime standalone games that I just couldn't do it. I couldn't. Right. But that's why I ended up going with the Pitts play because the Patriots, in my estimation, just are better than the Falcons I definitely did not see Matt Ryan having the struggles. Like, I mean, he's throwing the ball. We were talking about it before we started recording. He almost ran two guys into each other. Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Mina Kimes has a nice little, I don't even know what you would call it, but
it's little dots that move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was like a Bad News Bears type play for an NFL team. Meanwhile, Mac and Cheat, Mac Jones, 22 for 26, threw a touchdown pass. Someone said it was the best completion ever. He has a higher completion percentage than Brady ever did at this point in the
Product of the era. I'm not diminishing the kid. Obviously a great rookie season for him. But, yes, look at completion percentages across the league. But, yes, it is noteworthy. I do think we have to take a moment here. You know, we have no rooting interest for the Patriots, but, you know, congratulations to the
I have a rooting interest for my Patriots AFC East.
Oh, well, I do.
2 weeks ago.
I do too. Well, I did that in the preseason.
Not bad.
In fact.
Well,
but
pretty good.
I did that in the preseason. But, you know, I'm really happy as an empath for the long suffering Patriots fans out there. I mean, they had a rugged half of a season. Like, don't forget that 2020 started off the first half. It looked like, wow, they're going to be pretty good. Then Cam got COVID and things went downhill. So they had a bad, you know, 8 weeks of football that they had to suffer through over the last 20 years.
Long insufferable, as I had dinner with Bill Simmons. I know I'm the first name dropper of the day, but speaking of Patriots and former Patriots, Antonio Brown of the Bucks. Now, this is a Bucks, Tampa Bay newspaper that's reporting this, was accused of buying a fake vaccine card and presenting it to the league. Do I have that right?
Essentially. So he got the fake card. Really, it all comes down to Antonio Brown don't like to pay his bills.
Really?
Because that's really all it boils down to. This personal chef of his was, you know, they were running. He was running up a tab. He was coming over, making breakfast, lunch, and dinner, as one would do for professional athletes. His personal chef moved him all the way to Florida, got his own apartment, so on and so forth. Antonio Brown's girlfriend was accused of texting the chef, you know, you can get the fake vaccine cards, which I don't know about you guys, but I've seen like a proliferation of these on social media.
Sure.
Like, if I really wanted one, I could have got one.
We hear people talking about it at the gym. Well, you don't go, Martin, and I go every 6 weeks, and Dave never goes. But, they're talking about parties they're going to and how they got fake vax cards, like, right behind us. Very weird.
Yeah, it's like a very popular thing out there. Yeah. But Antonio Brown's chef says, yo, bro, you paid me $45,000. You owe me $46,000. Antonio Brown's like, nope, not paying that. Mm-hmm. And says, if you don't pay me, I'm going to have to go ahead.
Is this what happened?
And this is how we know that Antonio Brown had a fake vaccine card. Because really, it's all the NFL has the biggest egg on his face. Because Alex Guerrero, TB12 and Rob Gronkowski fame, he goes over to Antonio Brown's house, photographs the fake vaccine card, uploads it to the chief infection officer or whatever it is for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, that's good.
Who then, but it's because Guerrero took the picture and
CIO.
Turned it off. But but it's, you know, it's the same. If you looked at it, I'm sure it would look the same as mine. And
somehow, at least, I'm certainly plausible that I've missed it, but somehow Alex Guerrero is tied into this. How is it that AB wound up landing in a great spot down there in Tampa and getting a Super Bowl ring? And oh yeah, Tom Brady advocated for him.
I'll do you one better.
Tom Brady has not gotten any heat in the 24 hours since this story broke. No. This is somebody who sought out a guy who had some serious charges against him. Mm-hmm. Was a Tom Brady like, nope, we'll take care of him. And somehow, I have a chip on my shoulder about it. I kind of like Tom Brady in a lot of ways, but doesn't it feel like this guy advocated for a known, as you say, delinquent in making payments, had some more serious legal stuff against him. Tom Brady's like, yeah, I'll rectify his career and make him look good. You know,
it's the Urban Meyer thing. Don't worry, I'll take care of him. But you know, with Antonio Brown also though.
Yeah, but I mean, there are a lot of guys. If they did that, they'd be like, "What the hell are you doing, man? That's a bad look that you're doing that." Somehow, Tom Brady is celebrated for doing it.
He caught COVID week three and was out for the 10 days. Like that's how everybody was like, "Wait, Aaron Rodgers supposed to just have 2 negative tests?" Mm. That's how we found out that he wasn't vaccinated. Antonio Brown caught it week three versus the Rams.
Forgot about that.
Was out for 10 days and flew completely under the radar.
Right.
Completely under the radar, and I realized it's because he was going to miss the game anyway because he was hurt. Mm-hmm. But
a lot of guys are doing that now. if we went back to Tuesday or so, or Monday, the beginning of the week, and we said, let's do a snake draft of people, first person you think is going to get caught, first NFL player is going to get caught trying to pass off a fake vax card. Shaq, you have the first pick. Where do you go?
Now I can't unring the bell that is Antonio Brown.
You'd
now.
Go, hey, Brown. You would
I
pick
mean, that would
Brown.
Be hard to have.
I think I would pick Gronk like 3 times before anybody else. But who would you say, Mark?
Frank Clark.
Frank Clark?
Frank Clark has done some pretty remarkably dumb things in the NFL.
Wow. I go Cole Beasley would be a good option.
But like, I go Miles Gaskin.
Miles Gaskin?
I don't know.
Sure, why not?
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, how do you know? I mean, what seems to be true, and yeah. I don't know if we even want to do all this, if I should even
probably
go
not.
Down this path. But Joe Flacco, no? So he's the latest one. He doesn't have... Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my God, I can't believe Aaron Rodgers. I think that there is something to average age, 27 years of age. It's been made pretty clear if you're in great health that you're probably not in jeopardy yourself.
Yeah.
That I bet you that there's a lot of that. But the league mandate and all that kind of stuff or the requirements attached to it and everything else, I mean the Buccaneers, like, we looked at his card. We didn't see anything weird. And the NFL's like, hey, no stink on us.
No,
the Bucs
rules.
Told us everything was okay.
And so everyone's probably breaking the rules.
That's what the reality of the situation is. If Antonio Brown's got a fake vaccine card, no one's checking for Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's probably, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't have just took Bruce Arians at his word when he said his team was 100% vaccinated.
Well, listen, I'm sorry that I have to do this, but as you know, I happen to make everything about Pittsburgh. And I'm raw that Minka Fitzpatrick is not going to be playing on Sunday night in a spot where he probably looms large based on the offense they're playing and everything. And he can't play because he tested positive. And so now it does feel if you get into the weeds of what the standards are and everything, but it does just feel broadly unfair, doesn't
sure.
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Why's he got to sit out? Is Roethlisberger going to miss a second game
because
he's self-reported?
They should
it's
get
weird.
Fake cards. What are they doing?
Right,
just
exactly.
Being stupid.
By the way, I'm wearing. I did this for the occasion. Look.
Whoa!
Look at these. I got these on the banks of the Three Rivers.
All right, let's talk about that. Was a mistake, but let's talk about
Roethlisberger
Big
socks.
Ben 7. How much you pay for those?
Probably $12-15.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
How much should they be worth?
5.5-point favorite. The Chargers are over the Steelers. 46.5 is the over under. Shaq, you will be in attendance.
I will.
You all of a sudden have 13 tickets to the game. No. No. What's the story there? You're going to the game.
I'm lousy with tickets. I'll be there. Jean-Claude Van Damischek will be there. His terrible towel will be there. Uh-huh. I suspect his towel will be joined by... Babyface Joel, who will also be there with his kinder. I suspect 60,000 or 50,000-ish gold towels waving to taunt the Chargers.
Yeah. That's crazy. When you have a prop, when you insert a prop into it, it's one thing to have the jerseys be a lopsided jersey situation.
Right.
But, man, if we're watching towels in SoFi, that's going to be weird.
I don't want to be a bummer, but I just don't know how we could pick this game not knowing who's going to be in it or not. We don't know if it's Mason Rudolph or Ben Roethlisberger, if Joey Bosa's definitely going to play. It would appear he is going to play, again, unvaxxed, and yet somehow, I mean, he's just a close contact, but still.
The point. I'm taking the point.
Are you
I don't
really?
Care. Yeah, I don't care. I haven't seen a lot of those Chargers. Chargers haven't been good in a month. Right,
so, we're
in good conscience, I have to tell you, you're going to bet on a team that tied with the Lions last week.
I'm just going to say it out loud. I'm not going to bet it.
Okay,
I'll take the point. What are you going to do?
It's concerning. I'm not bad. I can't. I mean, I feel like the smart money would be to take the Steelers, but I can't do that.
It's too early.
I mean, smart money. We don't know anything, but I will say in the bigger picture for the AFC North, and I guess indicative of the rest of the league, but really if you look at the schedules remaining for those four teams in the AFC North, it's crazy.
There's not a clunker.
The Browns host the Lions this week. Mm-hmm. And after that, literally point out for me the game that if you're the team, if you're a fan of any of those four teams that you look at and say, mm-hmm. oh, well, that's got to be a win there. Well, that should be a breeze. There's right. not a one for yeah. any of those teams. I think you might be right is the point that like 9-8, 8-8-1,
yeah,
maybe
sure.
even worse than that, ends up winning this division.
Your only hope is, I don't even know that you have them on your schedule. So you don't have the Raiders.
You probably
already lost to the Raiders.
Yeah, right.
I think the Raiders are about to have a precipitous fall.
That's the thing. You got to hope the Raiders and or the Broncos drop out, because I think every other team in those two divisions are going to be competitive. AFC North, AFC West. Let's go to my team. Speaking of AFC West, oh, the Chiefs are back.
The big one.
It's too much.
This is the big one, Sal.
I'm not buying that. And believe me, I've been fair with the Cowboys. In fact, I took the Falcons last week, getting the points. I took Denver the week before. Was that the week before? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cowboys win. I think we overreact to everything. And one of the things is that the Chiefs are back. I like more than the Cowboys winning, the Chiefs under 30.5 points. What is Diggs going to let Tyreek Hill just run circles around them all game? No, I'm not buying it just yet. Maybe Kelsey's figured something out, but I think that it's like a 24-21 game. I'm taking Dallas to win.
So Jack, you're going under?
Yeah, I'm going under.
I have been real lousy mm-hmm. with totals on games. Mm-hmm. Better if I just keep it to the spread. So I'll do that here. I like the Cowboys to
nice.
Win the game.
There we go.
Wow.
You're going the other way?
No. We're all in agreement. I have all these notes. I was so ready to argue. I said, what have we based this Kansas City's back on?
Right.
What is it? I don't get it because they beat the Raiders. You know, I don't.
They weren't supposed to have one of those games, right? It just.
But yeah, my only real concern with the Cowboys here is, you know, we've heard all year Mahomes has had trouble with the two high safety look. Mm. And the Cowboys play a lot of one high man
right.
defense. But I don't know. I just. See, like, if you just look at what do the Chiefs have on defense that the Cowboys are worried about, mm-hmm. like, especially with Gallup back, like, and then I just don't see it. I don't understand where everybody I talk to is like, the Chiefs are back. The Chiefs are going to roll.
Let me help.
You got to get the 2.5. I'm just waiting to try to get 3.
Andy Reid, when facing NFL's number one offense, last 8 games, 1-7, 2-6 against the spread, has allowed 31.
I guess the question is Tyron Smith, right?
Yeah, sure. So, of course, there's that. But I feel like the Chiefs have just as much trouble up front with stuff like that. Cowboys as a small underdog, last 10, 8-2 against the spread, plus 65-point differential. Small underdog is 4 or fewer. Yeah, give me the boys. You know, I don't get that excited about this team. And I don't know why it's me. But now, the only other thing we could look to is, at some point in a lot of these matches, the who needs it more factors. Factor is important.
But you got Jerry Jones on Tuesday talking about this is a hallmark win if we get it. Like, I mean, you know, Jerry knows how to drum up some pressure in the locker room, for lack of a better
term. Checks right. And win this one, it's like there's no turning back. Now the number one seed's got to be the goal, and then the Super Bowl.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Well, you know, as I will always point out, Tom Brady is hard to bet against. But the Cowboys will be, no matter what else happens in the NFC. And look at the games. There's a chance that you will be the clear number one. Well, no, I guess I'm sorry. I take that back, because the Bucs should certainly beat the Giants, and they have a head-to-head. But
and the Cowboys have the Giants, and they have 2 against Washington. But
so
you're saying after this week,
yeah. Right? But I think we will feel the vibe will be, well, now the Cowboys should go to the Super Bowl, and then that puts you
as a
fan into a tough spot where you can't really take joy from victory.
Right.
You only feel relief the rest of the
I'm
way.
I'm already there.
Oh, we
I'm
beat Washington. There. Woo! We were supposed to.
What actually is terrifying. Saturday night, this is going to keep me up. As I'm laying trying to fall asleep, I'm going to be imagining a close game. Kansas City, hopefully Kansas City under 30 is right. Because if I see like Kansas City, like Dallas 40, Kansas City 30, like 35 or something like that, and we have to count on Mike McCarthy in a one possession game with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
to
you
make
gotta
the
take
right
it out
call,
of his hands, that's for sure.
That's terrifying. That's absolutely abjectly
it's not
terrifying.
Not like Andy Reid does a masterful job with the right, in game management.
But Mike McCarthy is I think we've seen several times throughout mm-hmm. this year, Dave. He's if there's a right decision to make, he's going to make the wrong one.
Let's just remember the Chiefs' last few games here. 13 against the Packers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We'll cut that Raider game out because obviously they came back to life. 13 against the Packers, 20 against the Giants, 3 against the Titans, 31 against Washington, the game that got out of hand, 20 against the Bills. I mean, it's been once, twice in like 7 or 8 weeks.
If that's a bummer for 30. Chiefs fans, then definitely don't read off what they have left on their schedule because that'll bum them out times two.
For sure.
They do not have an easy ride, and they better be fixed for their own sake. Or they're really
well, like you did with the AFC North. You could do the same with the AFC West and the remaining.
That's what happens. I guess when they all feel like they're basically the nobody really is broken out. I guess they all feel like really tough games. And the Bills are the one team that we are holding out hope for. But less than 2 weeks ago, they scored 6 at Duval, so they better because they have a huge spot. Look at what the Bills have coming up too. The idea that the Patriots could catch and pass them is absolutely within reason.
Oh, sure.
The Colts are going in there, and I know that the Bills are laying 7, and it feels like, well, sure, the Bills will. Well, the Colts have been really good.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that because I have a whole segment designated to that. But we got too much Cowboy love. I'm feeling weird here, so let's take a quick break. All right, Green Bay, Minnesota. Now, what's this number here? This is 2.5 still?
It was 2.5 last time.
They're just 2.5 will make you laugh, Martin. That's what my college bookie always said. And I never knew what the hell it meant, but it didn't make me laugh. It's 1.5 now. The Packers are 1.5 point favorite. 47 is the over-under. See, this is a game where I am going to take the which team needs it more thing into factor. Vikings pass rush this season. First, sacks per game. Second, pressures per game. Rodgers, 26% completion under pressure. Second worst in the NFL. I know the Packers give away free money every week. They've only not covered once, right? 9-1 or something. You have -1.5 staring you in the face with the better quarterback. I'm taking Minnesota. I don't know how long. I don't know if they go on a 4 or 5 game winning streak. I like what I saw out of them. I think they run it down Green Bay's throat and they win at home. Is this crazy?
Well, I'm trying to catch you, Cousin Sal, in the Extra Points Arcade. Go to extrapoints.com/arcade.
Yes, you and Harry did gain a game on me. Yep.
Play against us, and I'm playing against you, Sal, and yet it's starting to look like you and I have the same picks across the board.
Oh, we do.
I'm going with the Vikings too here. Mm-hmm. I'm going Vikes as well. I like them in this spot. I don't think they ultimately, I'm not sticking my neck out by saying this, the Vikes aren't going to catch the Packers in the North, but boy, they're playing really well. And in the who needs it category,
right?
Vikings need it way more than the Pack does.
Martin, make it.
Boys, Sunday we see the end of Mike Zimmer.
Oh, really?
He's not going to get fired. He's not going to get fired. I hope not. That would be
so not fired, awful. Not dead.
But
the
it's
end.
Just this is like when we get into the third act. We know the movie's winding down, and this thing is going to be wrapping up shortly.
They'll keep him around though, just because he could still make the playoffs with a dismal record.
Well, I was saying, he's not going to get fired. He's not going to get fired. It's just this is when we know that we're just playing out the string here with the Vikings for the rest of the year. We'll find that out on Sunday.
Really?
The Packers won.
You're ruling them out of the playoffs. You've looked at the standings. They're not out of it. Look.
He's got a different definition of the end.
Oh, okay.
Not necessarily. I'm saying, look, Jesus, Dave.
Making extra points.
It's the end of the week.
Any event, I was looking all week for a reason to take the Packers because I feel like the Packers should win, but I saw this funny line. It's at Minnesota. All of these different things are the reason why I feel like, as a gambler, like football perspective, I feel like the Packers should win. As a gambler, I've lost too much money on games that I feel like this team should win because of all of these football reasons, right?
Right.
Until I saw this stat. Packers and Vikings will be officiated by Sean Hockley. The road team has won 8 consecutive games officially by Hockley. Home teams 8-1 with Hockley this season, 6-18 over the last 2 years. That number is enough for me to take that number is enough for me to take the Packers.
I saw this. I mentioned it on Against All Odds. I don't understand it at all. Like, what can you accuse? Now we don't know the matchups, right? So maybe it was Bucks at Jags for a few of these. And okay, that makes sense that the road team would win. But what is going on?
If you're making that bet, Sal, maybe we need to make sure that that info is in front of Sean Hockley, because what people don't want is to be accused of bias. And Sean Hockley, by favoring somewhere in his heart or his gut or otherwise, the road team. It's sort of like when interconference teams play in college basketball. My old man would always go on about like, oh, we're by Pitt's playing Florida at Fitzgerald Fieldhouse. And like, and it's an SEC ref. Refereeing crew. We're going to get screwed. No. They don't want to be accused of bias. So they, in fact, favor the other conference. If we can get Sean Hockley, hey, man, these numbers are beyond debate here. Like, I better call to the home team.
You would think that, Dave.
I know you're saying that, but you think he's heard of it? Like, I don't know that he's listening to this podcast.
I'm saying we have to make sure he has.
He probably has.
I bet you he has.
Right?
Well, I'm just saying we have an actual real-world example.
Yeah. I think it's good.
Just this last summer, Chris Paul, in his post-game press conference in the NBA Finals, said Scott Foster, 0-11, if I was a betting man. A direct reference to the idea that he was 0-11 in playoff games officiated by Scott Foster. Scott Foster officiated game 4 of that series, and you know what he did? He lost.
Yeah.
0-12.
Yeah, they don't go. It doesn't necessarily.
You're like Chris Paul.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Except Chris Paul was never fat.
This might just be one of the things we like to talk
about. Chris Paul's also never looked like this.
I don't know. But
it is where I haven't
unfair.
Seen him in burgundy.
Babyface says. Oh, he's a little heavy. Oh, I thought you were saying I crossed the line by bringing up Marty's heavy set past.
Let's go quickly, Shaq. Pup of the week. Now, you've done what? Hit 6 out of 9 of these?
Six out of 9.
I'll let you start because I can't pick a winner. I'm confident in mine this week. But
I mean, look, I'm not going to. Do I have to take the Steelers? I don't feel good about that. And then I feel like I'm being a homer and people will level those charges against me. And unlike Sean Hockley,
you're an awayer.
Be that guy, right?
Is that a term, an awayer? I mean, a homer we've heard all along.
Sure, yeah, right. Yeah, an awayer. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that quite a bit. Well, that's Sean Hockley's an awayer, that's for sure. I'm going to go with
Our criteria is plus 150 or more for the pup of the week. As I look through these, they're not too many unless you want to go with those monster dogs like the Lions over the Browns, the Texans over the Titans, and and the Giants over the Bucks. But you're not going any of those.
Well, yeah, the Browns are now up to 12.5, and that's starting to get to a place where it's even scaring me away because I just think they lean on Nick Chubb real hard in
He's
this
back.
One.
Yep.
And say that, you know, take it out of Bake's hands. I do think, though, I said this on -3 on Thursday, and now I say it to you, fellas. Given the general mediocrity of the AFC North and the questions and the pressure now emerging on Baker Mayfield, and he's banged up, you know, he's physically, you know, not anything close to himself. And even at his best, he's not a top 5-10 quarterback. I think if they just put Case Keenum in there, they would win the division. If they just announce, hey, we're putting the ball control guy in there. Just take care of it. Don't turn it over. I think that would be enough for the Browns to win that division.
What
given their
all
roster.
Over the place here. You said last week, Browns, Patriots. Did he not say this, Martin?
Winner I did say
wins the division,
the
losers out of the playoffs. Now
he
you're
did.
Saying put Case Keenum
well,
in.
Well, now
the
I'm
Browns
changing the equation
division?
By taking old Bake out of
just
there.
Just leave the
new
equation as it is. First of all, they need to keep him in because he's basically still auditioning for this big contract, right? Like, and it doesn't hurt them.
I don't know, Sal. I think the audition might be over.
You think
by
he's really
not if he if they're see to Sal's money. Point if you if he gets him into the playoffs if he. You know, win 6 out of the last 7, which he's not going to. But if he did and they ended up winning the division, I think you kind of are stuck. You have to.
Sure. He could probably skip this game, though.
Okay. Here's the one I'm going to go with, and I really don't like it, but I'm going to say it anyway. But watch who's in and who's out for the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears at home. +5.5 against the Ravens, who I have made quite clear I consider to be fraudulent. I don't think they're a bum team, but they're not a Super Bowl contender. I like where the Bears are headed. What I don't like is that their four best players are really banged up. Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson, Eddie Jackson. It looks like at least Eddie Jackson will be back. We'll see about the other guys. But, you know.
Did Lamar practice yesterday?
He's slated to play today.
Okay. So,
he's back at practice today.
I don't mind that. Justin Fields, I'm trying to think. The last time we saw him was Monday night, right? And then they had the bye.
Now 2 weeks off. A lot of buzz that Justin Fields has turned the corner. I don't know how much stock you want to put in his Monday night performance 2 weeks ago. But
had a good, very good second half. +184. Good. All right. Martin.
They should. One other thing I'll say quickly is they should be able to run on the Ravens. Mm-hmm. So factor that in.
This is Montgomery's first game back? Yeah.
I already know what yours is because you put it on the list beforehand.
Yeah, shouldn't have done that.
Well, I got news for you, buddy.
Me and you?
We're in agreement here.
Let's do it.
I know you're having trouble picking winners. It's all right. Come over here. We got them right here.
All right.
The Indianapolis Colts +265.
I like that.
Are going to take down the Buffalo Bills.
Interesting.
I'm with you.
I like it. I mean, that play, I've been talking, ever since I talked to Mitchell Schwartz on a previous episode of Extra Points, asking about the toughness between teams and how spread teams, the Colts, they're a tough team. They're going to run the ball down the Bills' throats. Feel like, and they'll be able to control the clock, and I think that's the big key.
It's been 6 weeks since the Bills beat a playoff caliber team, and that team was the Chiefs, who were not playoff caliber at the time. Since then, I know you can only play who's on your schedule. It's Jags, Texans, Dolphins, Jets, all these kinds of wins and close games. I mean, they lost to the Jags.
If I'm not mistaken, they go after this one. It's I think the
it's
Patriots are with them, so it's a spot where they kind of got to get right, the Bills, don't they? They have been, if they are, in fact, the team to beat in the AFC, they better show it this week.
I think, Martin, I agree. The Colts, like Carson Wentz, kind of plays to the level of competition. They barely got out of the Jacksonville game. But, you know, I don't like the way they close, including that Jacksonville game. Baltimore, they should have won. They should have whipped Tennessee. They're up 14-0. They had the lead the whole game. But Jonathan Taylor, 400-yard games in the last five. We haven't seen the Bills dominate. I really like the Colts in this spot, +265, at least with the points, but that's our pop.
Do I do it? Do I jump over with you guys so that we have but on the cusp of the holidays, wouldn't it be nice to show that we're together as one?
We'll
as
do
our
it
families
next week.
Will.
We're already all together on the Cowboys game. This is okay.
You know what? We'll take the Lions over the Bears next week. That'll be the holiday. that'll be our holiday pup. We'll be disgusted by noon West Coast. All right. We also like to do this best quarterback, running back, receiver thing. I'm so mad at myself. So 2 weeks ago, Mahomes was +750, and I told you guys, I'm like, he's going to break out. If it's +750 every week, let's just keep betting him. He's going to have the lead in passing yards for a given Sunday. I promise it's going to happen. And he didn't that 2 weeks ago. And then I had Josh Allen, who was the leader up until the Sunday night. He had 366 yards, and who passes him? Patrick Mahomes, over 400. So I should have just stayed with what I said. I'm going Russ, 19-1. I like Seattle to win, pull off the slight upset over Arizona. Sheck, I think you mentioned on -3. This is it. If they have any chance, any shot, any talk of them being in the playoffs, they have to absolutely win this game. Russ, 585 passing yards against Arizona the last two games last year. 19-1 is too high. No limitations on Russ. Go ahead, Martin. What do you like?
I like how you said we like to pick these because this has been a curse.
Oh, you hate
whoever
it?
Whoever I pick, I just curse them as soon as it happens. Sunday, almost
these
guaranteed.
These are hard to hit, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, you got one a year. You're good.
So I'm going with Joe Burrow, 14-1. They're the most passing yards. Mm. The Raiders, have three cornerbacks on the injury report right now. Damon Arnette got cut, and I still think about Jonathan Abrams jumping too early on what should have been that Mahomes interception to Darrell Williams in the end zone. He's got stone hands. All he likes to do is hit people. And I think the Raiders are – I think their clock – their oven is – they're expired.
That's
the turkey's cooked. It's overcooked. It's burnt.
Okay.
It's done.
What odds you get up, Burrow?
14-1.
14. All right. Shaq?
Boy, that's an interesting one. I'm not – you know, obviously could say that about – 80-90% of the games this week, but man, another hugely important one for both sides.
Sure.
Bungles at Raiders.
That's at AFC North, AFC West.
And again, same as we said about the Patriots and Browns last week, the winner of it has a real shot at their division title. Mm-hmm. The loser is in real jeopardy. I mean, legit jeopardy of just missing the whole thing come January. The huge swing game.
It's a nice freebie if you really believe the Raiders in free fall. It's basically a pick 'em game, right? So
yeah,
I'm not there yet. I still think they have one more in them.
I'm gonna. For the record, I will take. I'll take the Bengals. They're
homer.
They're giving up.
You're being an awayer, but a homer for your division.
It's very hard to figure out with these West Coast games that have a gigantic percentage of the fan base. I don't know how many Bengals fans will be in Nevada on Sunday, but I'm going to go, this is lame, I'm going Nick Chubb plus 600. It just feels like too obvious a spot. They're just going to feed Nick Chubb, get right this week against the crummy Lions. The Lions, you know, I don't know. What does that tie do for their morale? Does it boost it? Does it feel like, hey, you know what? We're getting real close here. Maybe we push it across and shock the world, but I think the Browns understand where they are. And the other one to circle is, and I was real tempted with this one, the aforementioned Jonathan Taylor, who, if you really want to get crazy,
he's the best fantasy player out there right now.
That's
from
correct.
Now to the end of the year.
Member of the Cool Cats, as the Cool Cats make their late season push to get into the playoffs once again. Here's a crazy hot take for you, and a fun crazy bet if you have a little extra loot to live, not just survive. Jonathan Taylor, NFL MVP.
What kind of money are you thinking of laying down on Jonathan Taylor NFL?
Yeah, he's not doing it.
A couple of bucks. I just said a little bit of something.
I'll give you 2 to 1.
Not $1,000. 2 to 1? 2 to 1.
I mean,
he's 100 to 1. No,
I'll give you 200 to 1. Jonathan Taylor doesn't win NFL MVP.
Now he's doubling the odds for you. Do it. Give him a couple bucks. A couple bucks.
I know we work for. I know it's FanDuel.
I feel bad.
I'm not trying to cut you guys out of the pot, FanDuel.
Ah, do it. It'll be so much fun.
What do you want to do? Come on.
What if I say $20?
It's just not going to happen.
You want to make that bet for 20? I'll put up $20.
I'll back you.
I'm suggesting.
I'll back you, Martin.
I'm saying it's a fun thing. Throw a couple of bucks on
it.
No,
but
fun.
Don't just say it. You're wasting everyone's time.
$20.
$50. He is now 12th in the MVP. Well, tied with Carr.
I get it. It's a quarterback league. They
Cooper
give it to
Cup.
The QB who's on a good team. But if Jonathan Taylor.
You don't get it because you're taking the running back.
Because I like Kawhi.
Maybe a Mac Jones for rookie of the year or something like
I'm
that.
Because I'm in a festive.
You're a Jamar Chase ankle away.
I mean, what does he have to do the rest of the year? I bet he needs like 15 more touchdowns.
Checker season is here. I want to celebrate it. I'm in a festive mood.
Yeah.
We now till through New Year's. It's nothing but football and other sports to entertain us on the side.
But you can't make people
and parties with our families and with our friends and all that stuff and half work days and
I know,
not
but
no
don't ruin
days.
It by giving people bad advice.
That's not bad. What if they if he runs them past the Bills, Sal?
Yeah,
then he's gonna move up to 8th in the MVP voting.
All right,
what are you talking about?
Was it crazy when Derrick Henry was gonna be the MVP?
Here's the thing, he wasn't, and I'm trying to look at how many votes he had.
He never was going to be.
It was crazy.
Oh, I disagree.
You're not gonna beat that season. Well, what are you talking about? There are numbers here. Rodgers,
Derrick
by 44
Henry
points.
Would have had a great
Josh
shot at the MVP.
Josh Allen second. If what? If running
in good health.
If
he runs him to the number one seed, now we can change our perception.
I'm talking about last year where he had an untoppable year.
Thank you.
He didn't get one vote. And now Jonathan Taylor is going to win this award.
Listen,
let's double the money.
You know what? I just wanted to have a little bit of fun.
If you want to go down to your local,
gas
station, buy lotto tickets and, expect that type of return, then sure.
All right, here's
have a bet.
MVP.
Do you have a bet? You got it. Just
$25.
Just do it, Martin.
$25.
Easy. That's free egg sandwich right there. A couple of them for you. There are smart bets you can make, and you could do it at FanDuel.
I wanted an egg sandwich. He wanted a breakfast burrito.
Oh, he had the burrito. NFL season giving us a big Week 11 divisional matchup. Talked about it. Cardinals and Seahawks. FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger, giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. I'm telling you, I like the Seahawks in this. FanDuel is sports betting made simple. They're always hooking you up with great offers. Easy to use, safe and secure. The number one rated sportsbook app in America. And if you're already a FanDuel sportsbook user, FanDuel is hooking all customers up with $50. That's twice the bet that Check and Martin just made when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50. Oh, it just goes on and on and on. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code Extra Points this week before the Cardinals take on the Seahawks. You can win $150 on a $5 bet exclusively on the FanDuel sportsbook app. All right, Shohei Ohtani. Now, this is another thing you're going to be upset about, Check. Unanimous. I wanted to be like, who was the one guy who voted
against
him?
Don't be a stinker. You wanted to give it to Vlad Jr. If his team won the division. That was the standard that I set. You cannot leave out that important aspect of why I said you give it to Vlad. If the Jays do it and the Halos finish, on the wrong side of 500, value then does come into play. Vlad Jr. also was tracking towards a triple crown.
Sure. But there have been great players on better teams than Mike Trout all those years. He won too. It's just how it is. And
I would have, for the record.
Did he win 11 games or 9 games? He won 11
games? Shohei Ohtani would be my vote at the end of it.
All right.
But of course, I asterisked it. If Vlad's team winds up and he has 2/3 of the triple crown, I think, despite the history and the remarkable stuff that we saw from Ohtani, it still would have gotten. But
is this a fluke? Are we going to see guys batting and pitching? It has to happen in Japan, right? It's not going to be in the States. You go one way or the other at basically high school. Now there's high school pitchers that hit 450, and then once you're in college, you go one way, right? You're not taking batting practice anymore if you're a pitcher. Do we see more Shohei Ohtanis coming out of Japan? There's no evidence, but
the reason
why you're
in college and you don't hit is because you're that good at pitching and you're not good enough at hitting to continue. Like, you're not good enough.
Here in the States, that's for sure the philosophy. Yeah, but I wonder, like, overseas, are they going to – I don't know. What do we learn from this? Is it such a unicorn that we'll never see it again because we haven't seen it in many, many years before?
I think that you learned that you may see a Babe Ruth or a Shohei Ohtani once every 100 or so years.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I think that's the lesson there. Wouldn't this be like if Lamar Jackson was also the best slot corner in the league?
Yeah.
Like, you're just not going to see it.
I guess it would be fun to
see
more.
I'm going the other way. I think you will see it. It is... There's been slow progress in this direction. I mean, there was a time when Mike Hampton was, remember him in Colorado?
They've been good hitting pitchers.
They would actually put him in to get a hit. It wasn't because they had no other options. He's a good hit. Don Robinson long ago used to get ABs for his teams, the heavy set pitcher. And so this is the natural progression, I feel like. And I think it's a lack of imagination that has allowed managers or whomever abide by the law that you're not supposed to do it.
There's no physicality in Shohei Ohtani that makes him – he stands out above others, right? It's not like it's Kyle Pitts who could oh, my God, when he rears back and throws a ball, it's 103 miles an hour. When he steps up to the plate, he could hit it 475 feet. Like, it's not – right? If you look at him mechanically, he's got it all working.
I know it's imperfect to compare it to other sports, but, seven-footers were not supposed to ever shoot the ball from the perimeter, and then Dirk Nowitzki happened, and now it's relatively common. You need the trailblazer to set the new standard. The obvious cheap one is Odell Beckham. Mm-hmm. What a catch! Never seen it before. We've now seen basically that catch repeated many dozens of times in the NFL and college since he did it. Somehow somebody has to show the way, and then people say, Lamar Jackson. Well, you could never try to run some sort of college style run based attack. I guess you can do that.
But all of those things are just extensions on what you're already doing.
Right. I'm trying to think of the week in preparation for the game. Like, okay, I got to split my time between, as you said, cornerback and quarterback.
Because Odell Beckham's catch, that's what he always does. He just caught it spectacularly. spectacularly that one time, right, or 7 feet of shooting. They always shot free throws. You just take a couple steps back and you shoot.
Yeah, you got the ball.
It's all within the realm of possibility. Yeah. But like, if all you're doing is hitting and fielding because you're playing a position, mm-hmm, then the idea of throwing the ball with the grip placement and accuracy that you would need to play pitcher.
It's interesting. It's not going to happen in America, but if it did happen in Japan, like, we'd see it more. But then again, you're right, Martin. Why haven't we seen it more?
I think it's also, there's a desire. It's sort of like how athletes decide at the age of 14, man, I'm good at tennis. I'm doing away with all other sports, mm-hmm, and just focusing,
right,
on that. If there's a will to do it, Charles Woodson, mm-hmm, at Michigan, like, hey, put me in at offense, coach, prime time. Hey, yeah. Jay, or whoever it was at that point, Switzer, like, let me catch some passes here. There's got to be a will from the player to do it. And I think that now you see the celebration of Ohtani, I think that the egos are going to get in the way. Why Barry Bonds start juicing? Because McGuire and Sosa were being celebrated too much. If guys think, hey, I can pitch, or hey, I'm a pitcher who can slug, hey, I can do what Ohtani did, I think you'll see that competitive spirit rise up.
That'll be fun. I want to see a bunch of Ohtanis. All right, let's move to college football. And, oh boy, I have to say, -3, Dan Wetzel came on, and I listened, and Spaghetti was giving us play-by-play and just celebrating. Like, Dave is getting schooled here. Dave is getting schooled by Dan. Spaghetti, you got the, right? I mean,
You did the whole thing where,
Spaghetti was delighted. You did the whole thing where the college playoffs were better without a playoff, which is outrageous, and then you come up with, like, you romanticize about how you used to wake up on January 2nd and you knew who was the champion. Mm-hmm. And this guy's like, hey, I wrote 2 books on this. You're wrong. Playoffs are better. You're wrong. Look back. Spaghetti, right? Was that basically it?
It might be more compelling to people, but I don't think that it has provided a clear... I don't think we now sit around and think, like, well, obviously now we know who the best team was.
It's more obvious.
In 2015 than we knew in... 1986.
But it has to be more obvious if two teams, or if you're playing two playoff games, and like Wetzel said, in a few years when it's 12 teams, it'll be most obvious when you've won 4 playoff games against 0 or 1.
I'm going to hate that when 3-win teams are playing for the national championship. When a 3-win team is in the title game.
3-loss team, you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that, though, because look at it right now. I know you wanted 6 or something. Like, the number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 all have 1 loss. And the season's practically over. Go ahead, Spaghetti. What was your favorite?
It was just funny to have a guest on who was just shooting down everything that Dave has been talking about this whole season, mainly about the Cincinnati thing, and he called them the friend zone, and like, they're not going to get the dance of the homecoming dance, and he said that a 2-loss Alabama would get in, and just like seeing Dave taking like punch after punch from Dan was kind of funny, because I definitely don't agree with Dave's stance on the playoff. Right. And then Dave going back to like the old school way and like the BCS way, and Dan was like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, just don't agree with that. I just thought it was a pretty comical thing. It was a great... a great episode, though.
I imagine he probably is thinking in part about 1984 when BYU did it. And I felt like there was justice served in that. BYU won the Holiday Bowl, so it was anticlimactic. You remember that, Sal. A lot of people. That was weird because they ran the table and they had a couple of decent wins along the way. But they play the Holiday Bowl against okay, but not really good Michigan. And somehow Robbie Bosco gets the national championship. And so it rendered New Year's Day moot.
You owe it to
weird.
Your narrative to look at the AP polls, the final AP polls from, I don't know what you're saying, from when you were 8 years old to when you were 16, and you'll see that most of the time, 5 teams ended up with 1 loss. It's not gratifying. Like, I don't know. You say you woke up and you knew, you probably thought Santa Claus stocked your tree with gifts too when you woke up. Like,
I mean, if I dig up the newspaper from, I don't know, 1987 or whatever, perhaps it would look weird. But I guess I can do that now. I hear you. I feel like, and you were lucid in that window, and mm-hmm. I don't know how much college football if you were obsessively watching it, but it is a weird thing that Northeastern kids probably didn't care, because what were you latching onto? Rutgers?
Right. Yeah, it was fun. Keith Jackson made it interesting. All the things you said made it better, but it didn't make it... I don't think it stood out that there was one winner
The point is this. I think that... I'm trying to think. Tampa Bay winning the Super Bowl last year is a tough one. I don't know. As a for instance, the Ravens winning it now 8 years, 9 years ago... Did that feel like the best team had won the
Steelers Super Bowl? Steelers against the Seahawks. Team? I know what you're saying. Yeah, like when a wild
Steelers, card team Steelers it. Beating the Seahawks. Right. The you know those six seed teams when they went. Does it feel like that's the best when the Raiders in the, way back in 1980? Does it feel like that's the best team but won? Do you feel so like you that have, the season provided you with the
David,
the,
that's
the,
not
the
how
whole
playoff works?
Right. So have a
that's
champion.
That's why
in
I like the
head.
Other way.
Have a champion in your head, and then have it play, the way it played out. And most of the time. It will be. I mean, it'll yield a winner more than six one loss teams. Where you're just like, all right, well, I think this team played in the better bowl game, so give it to Oklahoma.
Well, but listen, we could belabor it. I could have this conversation for seven and a half hours.
You owe it to your narrative to go back and look at the AP polls.
I have, but listen, I think that it there still is in the way it's constructed. Mm. There are at least every other. Major sport that we follow. Well, I guess college basketball is kind of excluded, although there are automatic bids for teams to get in. And they're not on paper as they're not inked in that if you win the SEC, you definitely go to the Final Four. But it's essentially understood that that's the case. There still is subjectivity involved in all this. It's swayed by preseason polls, ongoing polls week after week. And like we talked about with Wetzel, the human factor of this committee every week releasing its updates then provides what you need to do to get into our Final Four and everything. It still
right,
is,
but
there still is subjective thought put into who these four teams are.
Sure.
So we're not getting, at least the NFL, the structure is like, you have to finish with one of the seven records that get you into the playoffs, and that's the path. This is still murky.
You don't love preseason polls, but you absolutely rely on preseason rankings for things like Heisman Trophy winners. Like, I think there's a half a dozen quarterbacks better than Sam Howell, but you've heard Sam Howell's name for the last 10 weeks because he was preseason ranked. He was top three or four, so he's still in there.
No, I don't like it. I don't get the point. I don't like it for that reason. I think other guys, I mean, Sam Howell, Spencer Rattler, the guys that were supposed to be the Heisman favorites have fallen away. What I don't understand is why the quarterbacks of two good teams – Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, why they're at the top of the Heisman. Well, it's now an MVP award. It's now the NFL MVP. Like, oh, the quarterback of the best teams win it now. That's a weird measure, too.
I don't know. It's tough. Our guy Bumper Pool going against Alabama this week. Thoughts and prayers. 20-point under. Bumper, though, we'll check in with him after Thanksgiving. Bumper, what was the stat, Joel? The first Power 5 player, the only Power 5 player to have back-to-back 100-tackle years, 100-plus tackles.
Hmm.
Good job by him and us. We got the right guy, I think, right?
Yeah, especially
so put
when
out good tape against Alabama,
a,
Bump.
Do it, right?
Put how out fun, good tape.
How fun would that be?
All the pros are going to be – all the pro scouts are going to be watching this
yeah,
game,
right.
Bump.
Yep.
Go ahead. Put one of those 20 tackles out there.
Sorry, Leighton Vander Esch. Your replacement is playing Bama this
That's
weekend.
Fine. We'll take it.
And yeah, I'd like him to go the extra mile, not as much for himself as for us. I'd like him to guarantee a victory against Bama in advance of the game. He'd get a lot of attention in either way. Whether that wins or loses, he'd get a lot of attention, and therefore we'd get a lot.
You know what?
Attention.
He feels like the type that would do that if he hasn't
already. Definitely. Oh, yeah. 100%. Wouldn't pick anything. What's your favorite uniform? Oh, they're all good. Who's the best quarterback you played? I don't know. They're all pretty good. What doesn't want to offend anybody. This will be
him. NBA, real quick, Sixers said there are 30 players, they didn't name them, but there are 30 players that they would trade Ben Simmons for. And now this becomes an episode of like The Bachelorette. How are we going to do this now? Like, is it every team's best player, basically?
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
And then, but I just think, how many teams would like to trade for Ben Simmons
yeah,
is
like
the better question.
That. I like
That's
to see
the 30
the
players.
To that.
How many teams are they willing to deal?
All right. I don't know that this resolves itself. Well, I mean, what happens? Martin, does it get traded anytime soon?
I can't imagine a team. I would have to have the most concrete of assurances from both Rich Paul and Ben Simmons that when you come here, you're going to come here and you're going to play and you're going to be all in and you're going to like, we're not going to be like Philly. Like, but right. And I just can't imagine that would occur. If you ask me who's going to play first, Ben Simmons or Kyrie Irving, I'd say neither. I don't expect either to play this season.
Yeah. We had Channing Frye on against the odds earlier in the week, and I said, what do you think? Should Philadelphia trade Ben Simmons? He's like, of course. He basically said he was a cancer. He's like, oh, he doesn't want to be there. You got to trade him if he doesn't want to be here. Are you out of your mind? He called me out of my mind for asking if they should trade him. I'm like, all right, what about the flip side? Would anyone trade for Ben Simmons? Like, of course they should trade for Ben Simmons. What are you? He's only 25 years old. He could stop. I'm like, I don't know. So why isn't this happening?
I just I don't know. I hear all the reasons why. I can see all the reasons why on a piece of paper that you would want to trade for Ben Simmons. But then when you watch the last couple of basketball games that he's played, plus you know, the summer, the whole offseason, and then the lack of basketball he's been playing this year would be, you know, that's the three major concerns I would have as a GM trying
to. The flip side is it was one bad series. I know you're saying the summer. And
well, it is one bad series, but it's also a career if he's not shooting. And it's a career on top of one bad series.
That's right. It doesn't mean that everybody's a felon if they yap a lot or they're problematic in the locker room or whatever. But as we see now, once again, with Antonio Brown, and I think Odell's been treated a little unfairly for the loss, as though he was responsible for what happened in San Francisco. But still, it's pretty clear Odell now has a little bit of a, like, where he goes, it's hard to deny that there is some, that there's smoke there. Antonio Brown, and now Ben Simmons is a pain in the ass. I mean, like, this is clearly hard to argue against. And so that's one thing to factor in. And in basketball terms, you know, Rajon Rondo won a title without really being able to shoot the ball. But he's an anomaly as a point guard in the NBA in the 21st century who you're understanding the deficit of, like, yeah, our point guard is not going to hurt you from the perimeter. Eric Snow went to the finals with Allen Iverson at his side playing off guard and did the same with those Cavs teams that LeBron. But those are the anomalies. Ben Simmons is great at basketball, except he can't shoot.
I just want to know what Odell Beckham did to you. What do you know about Odell Beckham?
Tell us, Shaq.
I'm like, what is it? Do you got some inside information I'm not privy to? Because you named him with Antonio Brown is a bad person. Like, legitimately a bad dude.
I went out of my way to make it clear that there are different ways to. I'm saying, in a very broad way.
Antonio Brown's a bad person.
T.O. is a pain in the ass.
All right, okay, but I'm saying Odell Beckham hasn't done anything since 2015.
Have you been in a coma for the last month?
Before the last 3 weeks. Before the last 3 weeks. The whole time.
How about the entire offseason? How about the entire offseason where every guy in the locker room, everybody associated with the Browns, like, what's going to happen with Odell? Are you going to be able to integrate him into the offense this year a little bit better?
And so Odell was out there asking questions with the microphone? Like, I just don't understand. I don't understand where the combination becomes like, oh, well, you know, he played 13 snaps in San Francisco, and it's his fault that they lost the game.
His borderline Hall of Fame quarterback in New York, on Odell's way out of the door, was bad mouthing that guy.
Well, I'll be honest, Odell.
He didn't give him.
I know. I'm in a room full of. I don't want to offend Eddie Spaghetti, but I'm of the personal belief that Odell extended Eli for a couple years.
Oh shit! Oh my god! Are you all right, Spaghetti? It's okay.
I mean, I know Eddie thinks it's a laughable competition, but who? I'm sorry.
I'm not saying Odell.
A star wide receiver.
Odell's
doesn't help
a lovely
an
guy.
An aging Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm sure he would have been better without him.
Odell is an international star. He does a lot with kids. He's good. You know, he does nice things in the community. Listen, I'm just saying, pretty clear. I mean, this is now. I mean, you're denying.
No, I would like the evidence that you are saying is
clearly
so clear.
That there isn't some smoke to the Odell. Correlation
doesn't equal causation. Just because, I think that the Browns would be pretty much the same team that they were before Odell was there. They weren't using him in any way that was significant anyway. Like, I don't know. The Browns get ran by, 32 points by the Patriots last week?
I think what's obvious here is my back is killing me. I don't know why. I don't think I can lean like this. So let's just say something we could all get behind, the MiraCosta Mustangs, the boys' varsity team, is in the semifinals. All right. My son is the starting defensive end against St. Pius X, St. Matthias. Is that an academy? I think that's a Catholic school.
St. Pius X is definitely a Catholic school.
Yes. Mount Pius versus St. Pius. Yes, the end might be near for the Mustangs. This team averages like 55 points a game. I will say MiraCosta getting 4.5. Wins 43-33. That's what I'm going to say.
I'm going over 1.5 sacks for for Archie Iacono.
That's rough. We'll see what happens.
Speaking of sacks,
very exciting.
Your pup of the week, Khalil Mack on IR. Breaking
news.
Is he?
Man, I really
got to stick with it.
All right, I'll stick with it. I'll stick with it.
And the tones are graphic.
I thought about it the other day when you said, "Oh, your weird name for a baby of the day." There are no good names for a baby. Yeah. Is untrue. The one that hit my ear now 15 some years ago, I was like, "What a spectacular name, Archie."
Oh, you do like it.
It's a great name.
It's a big big over across the pond in Britain.
Somebody else, a friend of ours, has Clyde. I think that's a spectacular good name one. for a baby.
What?
For a teen
what?
And for a grown-up.
Right.
Clyde. What a cool name that is.
Everybody named Clyde is at least comes out over 65.
Is that true?
Except for Edwards-Helaire, and he's super small.
All right. My back feels like I'm 65. But we will be back, speaking of backs, Tuesday, and then later next week with our Thanksgiving special. We recorded it early. Lots of screaming about sides and stuffing and pies and all sorts of things. That's fun. Jen Piacenti joined us, as did Harry. And Sheck, you are going to SoFi. Sheck, you might as well just do the podcast from there. You're not getting home till 3-4 in the morning.
Me, Sunday Jean-Claude night. Van Damischek, and the surrounding Steelers fans.
Yeah, do that. Just stay there. We'll set you up in a booth.
Hey, if Duck Hodges could win a game there, could win in the soccer stadium 2 years ago, what am I going to say? That they have no chance of winning this game? Mm-hmm. Here we go, Steelers. Here we go. And here we go, Pitt, too. Let's go, Pitt. Win the biggest game in 20 years for that program.
And here we go, -3 with Sheck. And, I mean, if you want to watch a takedown or listen to a takedown, Dan Wetzel just takes him out right in front. Lemon Pepper Parlay, Martin Weiss, TJ Houshmandzadeh. Check out Against All Odds. We pick the weekend games. It's me, the Degenerate Trifecta. Covered in Glory, new soccer podcast, Megan Fun of Sports. It's all up there. Spaghetti and Jen Piacente, as I said, on Waiver Wired. And a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.